I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Asthma is the most common chronic disease in the United States, but it can be easily controlled with medications such as inhalers or daily pills.
But often these medications are expensive, even though they're much cheaper in other developed countries like the United Kingdom.
So why are these drugs, these devices, so expensive in the U.S.? Here to help us answer that question today is Gerard Anderson. He is a professor of health policy and management and of international health at the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's also a professor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Hospital Finance and Management. Gerard Anderson, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to start out with kind of a general question because, you know, these days so often we hear that we live in a global marketplace where, you know, the products that we buy here in America are influenced by where they're manufactured and what the price might be somewhere else and so forth. But with prescription medication, it seems like we've got these islands where it costs one price in the United States, something else in the UK, and something else somewhere else. Why is that?
Well, because basically other countries negotiate as a country for prices. And we're really talking primarily right now about brand name drugs, not the generic drugs, not the. So with those, we're paying about twice as much in the United States as compared to other countries because they buy them as one country. And we have Medicare doing it and Medicaid doing it and United Healthcare doing it and everybody doing it. And having so many people buying drugs means that we just end up paying about twice as much as what everybody else is paying.
And so can you give me an example? And this carries over, too, as I understand it. You mentioned brand names a few seconds ago, but generics aren't always necessarily that much cheaper.
Well, they're not necessarily cheaper than the brands, but they are tend to be cheaper in the United States generally than they are in other countries. So we actually do pretty well in getting reasonably good generic drug prices. We just do terribly at getting brand name drug prices. There are obviously examples of drugs where we pay more for generics and examples where we pay less, but on average, we do pretty well with generics.
And in terms of a total cost to, say, American health consumers, what are we talking about here in terms of money? Are we talking millions? Are we talking billions of dollars?
Well, we're talking billions of dollars, but I think a better way of looking at it is how much does it cost each an individual person, and that's about $1,000 for drugs for an average person in America. And if we look in other industrialized countries, it's more like $500 a person.
So is this a trend that has been going on for 10 years, 20 years, or is this something that we've seen develop relatively recently?
We've seen this since we started collecting data in the 1960s. We just pay higher prices for pharmaceuticals. We always have, and unfortunately, we might always continue to do that until we really go like other countries do and either buy in bulk. Everybody buys it through the government or through some single source, or we find some other way to bring down healthcare prices and specifically drug prices.
Well, it is hard for you to say that without me saying something about the Affordable Care Act here right now. Is there anything in the Affordable Care Act, in Obamacare, that helps address this situation, or are we talking two different things?
Well, to some extent, we're talking two different things, but there is something in the Affordable Care Act that really does help the seniors, although it doesn't necessarily bring down the prices. So as part of the former bill that passed in 2003 that provided prescription drug coverage for the Medicare beneficiary, there was something called the donut hole, a gap in coverage. And the Affordable Care Act fills in that gap in coverage. So the Medicare beneficiary will not feel the price as much as they did before, but it won't necessarily bring down the prices in the United States for prescription drugs.
Now, as soon as you mentioned the donut hole, I remember right after that donut hole was created back in 2003, 2004, you know, an endless series of stories on the donut hole and what it was and who was going to be affected and how you could avoid it and the insurance and all those sorts of things. But since then, it doesn't seem as though, even though we're talking about some pretty significant costs to consumers and some pretty significant amounts of money being made, this doesn't seem to be an issue that's always on the front burner. It seems like as though it comes and goes as donut holes appear and disappear.
Right, and it has. And the people that hit the donut hole just sort of accept that they're going to hit the donut hole, and it was part of the system. But they heard enough about the donut hole to make it an important part of the Affordable Care Act. So that was the negotiation that the Obama administration and the Congress had with the prescription drug industry to fill in that donut hole. So the contribution that the prescription drug industry gave towards the Affordable Care Act was to fill in this donut hole.
So earlier in the interview, you said that the only way we're going to make significant progress in lowering prices is to bargain, to look for deals as a country. How does that process occur? Because it seems as though we're so sort of fragmented right now to bring all those pieces together into a single policy, particularly in the wake of the debate over Obamacare, seems like an awfully tall order.
It is. Well, one of the things that was the big debate as part of the Affordable Care Act and before was, at least in the Medicare program, which represents 40% of all prescription drug spending in the United States, if they could negotiate as one entity as opposed to all the different health plans that are part of the Medicare program. If the Medicare program could negotiate as one entity, it would have much more bargaining power than all the individual entities have. So we might not be able to get everybody into it, but we could get the Medicare program. And then, since a public program, we could get the state Medicaid programs into the program. So now you've got over 50-60% of the expenditures in the United States for drugs in Medicare and Medicaid. And if they were a big bulk purchaser, that would be huge. And then it would be up to the private insurers to say, well, if Medicare is paying this, I should be able to pay this, and they might be able to tag along.
Now, as I understand it, though, Medicaid or Medicare is forbidden from negotiating drug prices.
It is.
So what's
that was part of the deal in 2003 for the prescription drug bill. But, you know, those laws get passed, and the laws can get amended. So one of the things that's possible that would actually probably bring down expenditures quite substantially in the United States, and the Congressional Budget Office has shown this, is to have strict negotiations by the Medicare program as a whole.
I mean, there was a story in Time magazine in the past year or so about how hospitals overcharge for medicine because it can be masked within a bill that insurance might wind up paying for. Is that a secondary concern in your mind, or is that a real issue?
Oh, it's a definite issue. I was actually part of that Stephen Brill article and had the last line, which said its price is stupid, in that article. Essentially, it's a huge problem. If you go to a hospital in the United States, you're not going to know how much you're going to have to pay. You're going to find out how much you have to pay 2, 3, 4 weeks later. There's no other industry that, at least that I know of, where you find out how much it's going to cost you 2, 3 weeks after you've paid the bill. And while you're getting the services, you don't know how much anything is going to cost. And what's even more strange is that typically you're not the person making the decision anyway. It's your doctor is deciding what drugs you get, how long you remain in the hospital. So you're pretty much powerless to make any informed decision as a consumer in the hospital.
And we've only got about 30 seconds or so, but given all of those ands that you just talked about, given Obamacare, given everything, is it likely that we're going to see any significant action on this anytime soon?
No, I don't think we're going to see any political action. I mean, the Congress is just tied up totally. So I hope we do in the longer run, but I wouldn't look for it in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, thanks for the update. We appreciate your taking the time to be with us, Gerard.
Thank you. I'm glad to do it.
That was health policy expert Gerard Anderson joining us to talk about the price of prescription medications and what the future looks like in terms of doing something about those prices. He is a health policy expert with Johns Hopkins University.